Technology is not neutral. It shapes our media. From equality of access to freedom of expression, from human and cultural development to democracy itself.
Technological structures are reflections of their creators and define who and what is important, who and what is ignored, and who or what holds power.
Welcome to The Gentleman Hacker, the podcast that explores human-centric issues of the tech media landscape.
À l'abri et sans salaire, je dévoile mon caractère de gentleman hacker.
The Gentleman Hacker is a podcast by MICT, Media, Incorporation and Transition.
Des langues ignorent les frontières.
An internet shutdown is a intentional disruption of internet access ordered by a government and carried out by internet access companies.
So, what does an internet shutdown actually feel like?
If you're in a demonstration with your mobile phone, in such countries you might find that the mobile signal is stopped or the data connection over your mobile phone suddenly becomes unreliable. This can happen because of mobile phone networks and the way that they work. If too many people are serviced by one mobile phone tower, then the connection can get a bit funny. It's a bit like the occasional problem with your Wi-Fi router. But if the government is coordinating and targeting a demonstration in terms of shutting off the communication infrastructure, then you don't have the time or the luxury to distinguish between the two.
It means that when you're on the ground and on the move with your mobile phone, you have no means of communicating with it. It's useless. You may as well have gone without it.
Mohamed Halili is a journalist and photographer based in Khartoum and our colleague at MICT. I asked him about his experience of recent internet shutdowns in Sudan.
We stopped. Just like this, we stopped working and all our activities are suspended until the internet is coming back. The government realized that this will not work. You know, after a long time from internet shutdown, they opened the landline devices, you know, like the modems, you know. They opened all the landlines for the big companies, you know, and the big institutions. They blocked only the individuals. They didn't block the international calls. I don't know what happened, but I think they blocked the international SMS.
Last year, Access Now reported in their State of the Internet Shutdowns that there were over 190 reported shutdowns, mainly in Africa and Asia. This has not really impacted what we would now call more developed countries, certainly in Europe and the Americas. But this is coming, I suspect. It's becoming more and more difficult to discriminate or determine whether there is a problem with the internet or whether there is an intentional blockage of services. So there's this element of doubt, there's this element of insecurity where you don't know now whether the partial internet shutdown is a deliberate intention to block communications, or maybe it is a glitch. So there's this suspension of knowledge. You no longer know what is an accidental glitch and what is an intentional act of blocking communication, an intentional act of censorship.
Internet shutdown is a deliberate control of information and communication infrastructure. Justifications given for internet shutdowns range from generic issues such as public safety, fighting terrorism, or national security. More mundane reasons have also been given for internet shutdowns, including stopping students from cheating in exams.
Cutting internet access for an entire country to stop students from cheating in their exams seems a little overboard to me. what they want to stop or what they want to slow down is the speed at which people communicate, especially in times of demonstrations or civil disobedience.
Please remind, internet communications allow the rapid transmission between groups of people.
So governments that normally have censorship mechanisms on TV and radio stations don't have any control over this more distributed peer-to-peer communications of people within a country. In conjunction with telecommunications providers, governments are starting to explore more fine-grained methods of achieving the goals of reducing public dissent and communication over political turmoil or government decisions, whilst keeping the business side of the national internet infrastructure up and running.
So learning from past internet shutdowns and their impacts, more and more internet shutdowns are impacting, for instance, only mobile phone networks, while keeping the offices and public administrations open. Normal internet business services, such as access to websites, are being kept online.
But fast-acting social media forms like Facebook or Twitter, or chat systems like WhatsApp and Skype, are being blocked specifically over mobile phone networks to dampen down, to quell and to stop communication of supporters of views that are against government viewpoints. It means that the wheels of business can keep turning while the real aims of the shutdowns can be successfully carried out. I spoke with Ashna Kelamera from Sapeza. I first met Ashna in Tunis earlier this year. I was impressed by her presentation of Sapeza's work on publicly naming and shaming politicians that order shutdowns and CEOs of companies that implement them, publishing names and faces behind the outages.
CIPESA is the acronym for the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa. But the imagery of showing these individuals or these leaders who have questionable democratic credentials are actually the faces behind the various shutdowns. Very often we are seeing a lot of service providers receiving stick for responding to directives to shut down the internet. In countries where, you know, such decisions are being taken by authoritarian regimes or despots in this case, putting faces to the shutdowns was a bit more powerful.
Fantastic. Yeah, in a way it's like nailing an update to a church door with someone's face and basically saying you know, it's in a way it's an act of transparency and accountability, and it's a way of saying, okay, we won't forget this. This has happened before.
We've seen cases where the restrictions have taken on a new form, which is financial. In Uganda now, we pay a tax to access some of these platforms daily. And recognizing that we're a developing country and a lot of users live below poverty line and data was already unaffordable to many, the additional tax, which is about 5 cents a day, is a barrier to access. And that means that a lot of users have fallen off the grid in terms of using social media platforms. And I was going to refer to the case of Uganda. When we experienced shutdown during the election period and the inauguration of the president, something unique happened. The download of VPNs as a circumvention tool spiked. I think it's on record that during those days of the shutdowns, VPN downloads in Uganda were very high. And this was a win for digital security skills and knowledge.
This lack of trust now in the reliability of internet communications has meant people have to find other ways of communicating, other ways of getting their message across.
There's something called it fire shot, something like this. I heard about it 2 days ago, and the people start talking about it and start talking about if the internet will shut down again, the people have to use this fire shot.
Please listen carefully now. We will name some companies that might help you organize your next demonstration.
These applications such as FireChat and Call.net, amongst others, are applications that you can load onto your mobile phone to join this independent communication network that will work by messages being passed from one phone to the next until it reaches its destination.
I repeat, FireChat and Call.net.
Alp Toker is the executive director of NetBlocks, a group dedicated to researching and classifying all types of internet outages.
It's an organization that tracks internet disruptions around the world. This includes incidents of censorship, internet shutdowns, also disruptions due to incidents like weather conditions, storms, hurricanes, and it's really about trying to do this in real time to inform communities, to help people stay informed and to get support in emergencies.
Are you aware of many internet shutdowns, partial or subtle, that have happened within Europe or America?
So fortunately, the situation in Europe it's got a near perfect score at the moment in terms of internet shutdowns. In the EU, there's only one confirmed incident of an internet shutdown, in fact. At least politically motivated shutdowns. So it's basically a perfect track record. US, there have been allegations of disruption during marches, but as far as we've seen from the ones we've looked at, these are related to network usage. It's possible there have been disruptions in the past, and the truth is, if it happened now, I think we would have a very good chance of identifying it. The incident in the EU, there was a contested referendum in Spain a few years ago. It was one of our very early data-driven research incidents. We did mass-scale scanning, and there were a lot of censorship incidents reported, which are known, where the government officially put on blocked pages and blocked sites. But we also found that there was at least one regional shutdown where internet access was disconnected while people were voting in this contested referendum, I think, for independence, for Catalan independence. That's really one shutdown only in the Western world that we're looking at. So it's not an epidemic at the moment.
Well, Alp, I'd like to thank you again for all your time. Is there anything else as a sort of final wrap-up?
Yeah. Hopefully our listeners won't ever experience a shutdown. But if they do, try to get the word out. Try to get it out. If it's just social media, try to get it out through other channels. Try to let us know so we can cover it. If you have disruption censorship, you can also run our web-based scanner, very quick, privacy-protecting scanner that will just check availability of popular online resources. Familiarize with these tools because you never know when you'll need them. That's what I'd say. Yeah. Check them out on our site. Familiarize with the space. And also be ready to help friends who might be in less fortunate countries, because it has a huge value to be able to document these incidents and draw light.
In a future episode of The Gentleman Hacker, we will discuss such applications as FireChat and Call.net and how they can be used and why people use them, as well as talking with some of the people who develop such programs and their excitement over what this new type of communication can bring.
Loin du bruit des affaires, à l'abri et sans salaire, je dévoile mon caractère de gentleman hacker.
The Gentleman Hacker would like to thank MICT, Media in Cooperation and Transition, for resources. Michaela Pfizer for production and guidance. Leah Pissier and Mohamed Halili for on-the-ground updates of the current Sudanese situation. And Louis Cumian for permission to use excerpts from his track, Gentleman Hacker. I'm Adam Burns, the Gentleman Hacker. Thank you for listening.